It's always lovely in Vancouver when it's not raining. So today we're so excited because today and this week is a reflection on Remembrance Day as we come up to that on November the 11th. So we want to be reflective of that this morning. Also, we're also very mindful that today is we're going to be taking a special offering for Days for Girls. And I'll be talking a little bit about that when we before we take up the offering, which will be after the sermon this morning. Also, this morning, we just want to encourage you to direct yourselves towards the Lord this morning. So to try to put everything else aside, if you do have a cell phone and you haven't set it on silent, or even just turn it right off so you're not disturbed, we'd really appreciate that. If you take out your bulletins this morning for this new month, you'll notice it's a little bigger bulletin this morning. Each Sunday of the first of the month, we try to encapsulate more information in our bulletin. So we hope that you'll keep this with you throughout the month of November so that you can refer to it in the information that it does provide for you. The rest of the month, we're going to be doing a truncated version of this, so just the half sheet. So if you turn to the inside on the first inside cover at the bottom after the announcements, you'll notice we have our key verse for the month of November. So let's stand together as we read this together to remind ourselves what we're all about in worshiping our Lord this morning. So it's taken from Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12. Let's read that together this morning. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are a great God and you are deserving of all of our praise and our worship this morning. We come before you from the ends of the earth to be here at Westwood Alliance Church, gathered in your most sacred and holy name. And we pray that the words of our lips and the meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you. For your name is greatly to be praised this morning. Amen. Please remain standing as our worship team leads us.
Our God that we serve is a great God. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, from the heights of the heavens, his name we praise. Amen.
From the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the heights of the heaven, your name be praised. From the hearts of the weak,
the shouts of the strong,
from the lips of all people, this song we raise, Lord, throughout the endless ages, you will be crowned with praises, Lord, most high, exalted in sovereign of all creation, God, most high, be magnified.
We sing this, remind ourselves how great he is.
From the ends of the earth,
from the depths of the sea,
from the heights of the heaven, in every nation,
God, in our praises that we raise up to you this morning. However we feel, Lord, hear our praises, O Lord, that we bring forth to you, O God. Hear our praises. ran on us to remind us that because of your grace, we are where we are, O God. Without your grace, we can't stand where we are, O God. As if we are so arrogant that we know everything. But God, how we handle our life, our finances, our family, we are foolish in our ways, oh God. We ask, Lord, that you be thou our vision. Help us, oh God.
Be thou my vision, oh Lord of my heart. Bye.
your heads with me now as we involve ourselves in prayer.
Lord Jesus, we come before you as our great King of heaven. We humble ourselves before you, for you are great and majestic. Even the heavens themselves cannot contain you. The universe itself is small before you. And yet so small are we before you, O mighty God. We come before you as your creation, as your sheep of your pasture that you desire to lead. Only often, Lord, we find our hearts wandering far from you. So we come back this morning to this house, to this place of worship, and direct our prayers, our concerns, our needs towards you this day. We pray, Lord, that as we come, you will meet with us by your Holy Spirit, that he would commune with our hearts, that he would reveal within us what we need to forsake, what we need to rebuke, and what we need to repent of even this morning as we come to hear your word. We pray today that you would so bless us and encourage us and strengthen us to live in a world that is so fragmented and in so much rebellion against the God that has created all. Lord Jesus, we come before you recognizing our world is full of bloodshed and violence, even as in the days of Noah. Lord, as there is wars and factions around us and there's disease and pestilence everywhere, Lord, we look to you, for you say that you will guide us safely through, that you are our rock and our foundation. Lord, so we turn our minds, we turn our hearts towards you today and call upon your holy name that you would reveal yourselves to us, that we would follow you according to your word and according to your truth, not according to the whimsy and the discernment and the wisdom of this world, but according to your word and according to your spirit, Lord. We pray that we will follow and be guided by therein. Lord, we pray for those that serve our country in diverse places, laying down their lives in the Canadian military. Thank you, Lord, for those who valiantly serve our country in peacekeeping tasks all over this world. We pray for the Middle East today, Lord, that you would continue to help peace come to that region of the world. And Lord, we know that there's been so much in way of difficulty and factions and lack of peace there. So we pray, Lord, today for the countries of Syria and especially Mosul right now, where there's been great attacks and great bloodshed in the days past and continuing on today. Lord, we pray for relief for these people, that they would be able to be freed and released from captivity. Lord, we also pray for Days for Girls. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to give today towards this great program. And we take this opportunity today to offer for the needs of women in difficult places in our world. Thank you, Lord, for this day that we take these opportunities. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd hope you'd have your bulletin in hand and turn to the middle section there related to the sermon. And it's taken from a passage from Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4 this morning. And the title of the message is Not Parading Your Money. Not Parading Your Money. And this is, again, taken from the Sermon on the Mount, from the book of Matthew. The Sermon on the Mount is part of chapters 5, 6, and 7 in the Gospel of Matthew. So today, as we look at this passage, verses 1 through 4, I'm very much aware of God having a sense of humor. This past Sunday, I was going to be preaching on Daniel,
and went for a run on the morning and ran into a bear within 5 feet of this bear because he was hiding behind this tree, scratching on. I didn't see him, of course, black bear, and it was kind of dark in the trail I was running along the Coquitlam River. This week I also had a thing that happened related to money. You know, I was talking to God and praying about, you know, what I'm going to be speaking out on a Sunday. And it's interesting that God kind of brings things and happenstance into our lives related to things that we're concerned about or things that we're talking to him about. I was taking my wife to a clinic to visit a doctor in Surrey, and so I had dropped her off at the front door because it was raining cats and dogs outside. And so I dropped her at the front door, and she was going to go up to the doctor's office. I was going to park the vehicle, looked down, got the number squarely in my mind, and then walked over towards where the parking meter was, which was inside the building. So as I approached the parking meter, I noticed that there was a lady there with a small child beside her, probably about 4 or 5 years old. He was doing what most children do at that age, you know, kind of running around and tugging on mummy. The mummy was an East Indian lady. So she was plugging money into the meter. I noticed that it was about, you know, $3 for the parking meter. So she was plugging these nickels and dimes into the meter. And she was dropping the odd nickel, the odd dime was rolling around on the floor, and the child was chasing the coins around on the floor. And so there she was plugging away on the meter. And so I was, yeah, I was looking at the time. It's taking quite a while. And then I took out my change purse and I looked in it, and there was a toonie. And so she was at a buck, so I leaned over and I showed her the toonie. She took it and plugged my toonie into the meter, and I was thinking that she would go, thank you, you know, or I don't know if she spoke English too well. She was speaking in maybe an Indian dialect. I wasn't sure if she knew, you know, the social graces of when you take somebody's money and put it into the meter, that you thank them for their donation or their help. She took the $2 and, of course, put it in the meter, and away it went, and she had her receipt came out. And she looked down at the floor, and two other couples came in, Caucasian ladies, seniors, and one of the seniors said, there's some money on the floor. And so she just looked at it. And so I bent down and started picking up the coins. And then I handed them over to her. She again took them from me and didn't nod, didn't say thank you, didn't say anything. She just took them, put them in her purse, and then walked towards the elevator. And then I put my card in the meter, you know, punched in my number, and was getting my receipt. And I noticed the elevator came. And so she got on the elevator, and I was just at the door, and I tried to get my hand inside the elevator to stop the elevator from closing, you know, so I could get in. But it was too fast, and the elevator just shut right there in front of my face, and off she went. And the elderly couple, the couples that were with me, one of the ladies said, that was really strange. And I felt the same thing. Was there some social graces that could have been extended there? Maybe she didn't know thank you in English or something along those lines. I wasn't sure. But there was definitely a miscommunication, and I thought, you know, maybe it's just my Western style that if you do something for somebody and help them out, that you are supposed to gain some approval, some affirmation, some credit for what you've done. And each time, three times, I had the door kind of shut in my face without a response that I felt that was owed me. And it was kind of an embarrassing situation. I turned a little red in front of those seniors, and we went up the elevator together. I did hold the elevator door till they got their receipts, and we all went up together. So what about that? How do we deal with that in our lives? And what kind of awkwardness and miscommunications are there in way of giving towards God and what we do in the church in way of money? Sometimes maybe there's a similar kind of awkwardness there. Maybe we don't do the right and the socially comfortable thing that we're supposed to do in relation to God or in way of the church. How are we to behave? And what does God expect of us? What do others expect of us when it comes to giving? And I think this passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, says it very aptly for us this morning, and I'm going to read that for us. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. It says there, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their full reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." So, in our passage this morning, I've looked at this verse 1, and I've given it a title of stealth giving. Stealth giving. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them, and if you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. You might have heard the slogan, "If you got it, flaunt it." If you got it, flaunt it. This expression usually comes as a result of health or physical attributes. You know, you don't dress modestly, you dress with tight clothing because you got it, man. So if you got it, you got to flaunt it. And so we really, in this age, have gained this idea of flaunting is good and is best and is better than keeping something hidden or secret. And when we think of flaunting, I think of exhibitionism, really, which is the nature of our age today with all of our technology that we have today, is it not? We flaunt it because we are told that if we post it, if we tweet it, if we Instagram it, then people will see us and know what's going on in our lives, and that's very good. What drives our psyche to want to flaunt? I think there's a desperate need that we have as human beings. It's a want. It's a want to be in the in. To have our inner world assuaged in way of knowing that people know us and we know them. We also desperately want to be part of the conscious realm of people on an ongoing basis, and so we post regularly. If we haven't communicated lately online, we get kind of a nagging feeling, you know, because you're only as good as your last post, or you're only as good as your last tweet. And people aren't aware of what's going on. We want to feel important. Yet if we want to be spiritual as a people of faith, a people of God, we have to engage with what Jesus has told us here in this passage. Be careful. Be warned. Do not practice your righteousness in front of others. Stealth and living and not being seen by people, but rather to be seen by God, is vastly more important than all the internet hype in the opposite direction. It's almost like Jesus is wanting us to be spiritual ninjas. Are you with me on this? Spiritual ninjas. In the 70s, I used to watch David Carradine. This is probably before your time. Kung Fu. Okay, it's still before your time. It's just, you know. There was a scene in the introduction of Kung Fu, and the master would roll out a sheet of rice paper, and he would say, "Now I want you to walk the rice paper." And so as a young student, he would just walk across the rice paper and then look back, and there was all these footsteps. He could see where he had walked on the rice paper. He had failed the test. And then it flashes to a scene where he is now the Kung Fu master. He does the rice paper in silence. He comes back and looks at the rice paper. There's not a footstep on the rice paper. Ah! I think it's an apt illustration for us in way of how we are to live before God in way of our giving. And the way we live is not so much to be seen by others, but to be seen by the all-knowing, all-present God. How we live our lives is not so much important that people know us on our tweets and our Twitters and our posts and our pasts and all the rest of it. There's two attitudes, two polarities. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says this: "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death." As Christians, we see spillover of the flaunting theme in the practice of our faith. We can easily start to boast about how much we've given and how much we've served and how much we pray. In Jesus' day, people thought they were honoring God by announcing it with a trumpet or telling people about it. Jesus came to the religious practitioners of his day, the scribes and the Pharisees, and said, in effect, "You guys are all wrong. You don't have it together in way of how God wants you to give." Jesus wanted to establish that God's view on giving for a religious practice was something more of the Spirit. In verse 1, he really sets the theme for the whole sixth chapter here of Matthew. He talks not only about giving, but also of prayer and of fasting, religious practice. Of course, giving is towards those that are around us, those that are on the horizontal level. Prayer has its direction towards God, and so does fasting. Jesus says, "Be careful to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them." Secondly, rewards on earth gain nothing heavenly in verse 2. "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they receive their full reward," or the reward in full. The biggest problem with our religion is that often we become a show. In verse 2, Jesus calls them hypocrites, meaning actors on the stage. You're nothing but an actor on the stage when your giving is about others seeing you and how much you're giving. Our religion has become, at this point, as bad as their theology if we think that our giving is important in way of how we are seen by others and how they attribute us as good people. Jesus focuses on this element of giving in this chapter 6 as one that is giving towards God. We give in way of our faith and our trust in Him. Whatever it is that I am in worship, it should be coming from the depths of our hearts, because it says in the scripture that God sees our hearts. He sees the outward person as well and our activity, but more so, he sees the inward nature of our hearts. Jesus doesn't want us to forfeit the reward that he has for us. And that is just what we're going to do if our giving is phony and our giving is an act to gain applause from others. There's qualifications for being needy in verse 3 here. It says, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." I often hear neediness as a qualification for what one gives and how one gives. My question is, what level of neediness qualifies for an onus on our part to give? Definitely there is an aspect of our giving that should be related to needs of other people. Think about how much we have raised as a church related to those Syrians, those people that are going through so much tragedy in their country right now. We're seeking to sponsor those that are in great, great difficulty, and we were able to raise so much money because we felt their need, and we felt their neediness was worthy of sacrifice on our part. But today we not only run into those that are needy, but we run into people that say they're needy, but we can really question their neediness, as they're hucksters or sham artists. They're out to entrap us and steal our money away. Even charitable organizations request donations, and yet so much of the money goes towards administration. How are we to cope with that? With all the capacity of mail and media coverage, it's even hard to avoid literally drowning in the amount of need that comes to us on a daily and even weekly basis. We're deluged with people telling us we have a need in this area, a need in that area. How do we give to so much need? Knowing how to give and how much to give has people pushing the default button on their giving. That default button is, okay, I'm not going to give anything at all. Just don't give to anybody or anything, and then I'll be safe. I won't be taken advantage of. I won't be laughed at. I won't be swindled. I won't be duped or scammed. I'll be safe. Even the best organizations take those administration fees out. If that's the cause of us for lacking giving, we need to take a check and say, what really is the nature and the purpose of giving? Knowing all this can really make us jaded as givers. Despite all this negativity, God's word tells us that there's a spiritual reward in giving. There's two types of giving, really. There's a systematic giving. There's a giving that's related to the church of God, to the needs of God, in way of creating an opportunity for people to know his kingdom's work in their lives. But there's a second giving as well. There's a giving to those that are poor and needy. This is an unstructured kind of giving, unspecified and spontaneous. It's over and above what we would give as the needs of the church, but for the needs of those in our community. Throughout the Old and the New Testament, you have the kind of giving to needy persons that you come across. You reach out with your heart to those individuals and those groups. Giving is an unpopular subject because often it has had and suffered abuses of many kinds. Yet there's an understanding here in the scriptures in way of a spiritual benefit and a spiritual blessing and a spiritual reward that one gains through giving. To begin with, I have to say this: God doesn't need your money. You know, God doesn't need it. He didn't form the church to say, okay, I'm going to get a group of people together because I need some money to make things happen for myself. God never decided that he would need our money or wants our money in that way for himself and for his needs. God wants our money for the benefit of ourselves. So when you think that you're giving God a big fat favor by giving him an allowance for what he's done or helping him out, you got a completely wrong theology. God is not here at the mercy of our finances. He's not up in heaven wringing his hands thinking, my goodness, you know, that person there didn't give their tithe or offering this day. I'm not going to make budget. What am I going to do? You know, he's not doing that. The scriptures tell us that he owns the cattle on 1,000 fields. He knows us and he loves us and he desires for us the spiritual benefit that comes from giving. The one thing we need to realize, you and I, is that we need to give more than what God needs to have us give. Giving is all about getting a reward through our spiritual person and the inner man that we are. Let me illustrate this from Scripture. In Proverbs 11:25, it says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Giving refreshes and prospers us. There's always a need that qualifies our giving. But that giving is in way of what we receive in our giving. Mark 9:41 says, truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. God promises even the smallest and infinitesimal giving will not lack a reward. There is a benefit that comes with our giving. Need qualifies giving, but how we give is just as important. How we give. Now, letting the right hand know what the left hand is doing is, as the scriptures say, blatant hypocrisy. You're getting into the giving for the sake of the applause, for people knowing. The fourth point here I have is the Father sees what is hidden in verse 4. Verse 4 again says, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. There isn't a description of what the reward is here in these verses. You might be thinking, okay, so I'm giving this. What do I get in return? What is it that I receive in this reward? Knowing the source of that reward is the most important aspect of the reward because God is a great and good God. He gives us good and valuable things. He gives us life. He gives us spiritual life. Those rewards are far past any kind of financial remunerations we could ever receive. As far from the New Testament evidence, we understand the reward to be both in time and eternity, both in character and in the source of joy. God sees it in secret and rewards us in form of character, in form of a sense of joy that we can celebrate the goodness and blessing that we can give into others' lives. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Jeremiah 23:24 says, can any hide himself in secret places and I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill the heaven and the earth, saith the Lord? 1 Corinthians 8:3, but if any man love God, the same is known of him. We cannot hide from God. God knows and sees. It is God himself who will reward us. In 1 Corinthians
15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Give because of the need, certainly. Give because you're giving towards God. Give because it will be rewarded. If it's done in the right attitude and the right way, God promises us He will reward us, even the smallest thing, even the cup of cold water. Because it does your heart good is the reason that we give. We give because it creates within us the very kingdom of God, because God is a giver, and we in form and way want to mimic Him and live according to Him, not according to the give me and get me culture that we live in. Let's pray to that end, shall we, today? Lord Jesus, we come before You, and we recognize that in our culture today, it's all about showmanship and what people see and how popular we are and how important we are. Lord, help us to see that even in our giving, we can take that as our textbook answer and our reason for why we give and what we give. Sometimes we feel that we've been taken advantage of or misunderstood. And Lord, yet You say that the important part is that we give out of a sense of Your presence and Your reward, a spiritual reward that is far past anything that we can see in this world, in the temporal vein. Lord, help us to be not men and women that are just seeing all the important things in way of materialism, but more so those that are very concerned about the spiritual aspect of our lives and the nature of who we are as spiritual beings, that one day we will stand before You and to receive our rewards. May they be of precious things, not of wood and hay and stubble, but of gold and silver and precious stones, because we've given according to Your word, hidden from man's prying eyes, for Your glory, Lord Jesus. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we're going to call our ushers forward. And this offering we're taking today is in way of Days for Girls, an organization that is represented here this morning for us. The ladies, Vida and Lorraine, are here, and they're going to be in our connections room. And they're seeking to let you know a little bit more about Days for Girls. When you're giving of your offering this morning, you can mark your envelopes Days for Girls and put it in the offering box at the back, or you can put it in the bag. Anything in the bag goes for Days for Girls. If you put it in the box, it could go towards the church offering or towards Days for Girls if you mark it clearly on your envelope. If it's a donation over $20, Days for Girls will receipt you for that. So look for that in the mail. So please, as you're giving towards God today, offer this with a thankful heart for those girls that are in need of education, need of betterment in their lives in our world today, in third world countries, in difficult places.
please stand and sing this song of thanksgiving to God.
Thanks for your prayers that thou hast answered. Thanks for what thou dost deny. Thanks for storms that I have weathered. Thanks for all thou dost supply. Thanks for
thanks, God. Thanks to you, O God, for all that you have done. Thanks for the hope that comes from you, O God. For here we come to you now to with an open heart, O God, and bring a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O God, and saying, Lord, thank you for your goodness that follows us throughout all our lives.
Lord Jesus, thank you for all the blood, sweat, and tears that we've put into these monies that we have offered today. We pray that you will use these for your kingdom's sake, for girls' sake in third world countries around our world. We pray for these ones that will receive of these kits for Days for Girls to help them better be educated, to be able to rise up beyond the difficulties of their day and their situation. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for women in general, for what they give to us generally in way of our society, in our communities, and in our families, as sisters, as mothers, as grandmothers, as such wonderful, wonderful people. Thank you, Lord, for them as part of us. And we commit ourselves to each other, even today, as we give this offering unto you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Remain standing, and let's sing this song. Please take the offering bags out, and blessings.
All right, let's come to God with an open heart and bring a sacrifice of praise. The worship team thinks it's a swagging song. Let's swag to the music, all right?
To you with an open heart and bring a sacrifice of praise. I have seen your power in your holy place. I have known your mighty ways. I remember your mercy and Lord your faithfulness. Lord your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. Surrounded with the favor of the Lord, always and forever.
Yeah, let's come to God before we go back to our homes with an open heart and remember what He did. Here we go.
I will come to you with an open heart and bring a sacrifice of praise. I have seen your power in your holy place. I have known your mighty ways. I will remember your mercy and Lord your faithfulness.
Lord your goodness.
Lord your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life. I'm surrounded with the faith.
Yes, Lord, thank you so much for your love and your goodness to follow us for the rest of our lives. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Receive the benediction from God's word today for your hearts. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. Please be seated. Have you turned to your announcements in the bulletins this morning? Just a few quick announcements. Again, the ladies will be in our connections room to talk to you about Days for Girls and what that involves. You're welcome to chat with them. I'm sure they'd love to hear what you think of that. And